maybe the little life he or she has just managed to say, God, have mercy upon me. Forgive me. Accept just as my Lord and personal Savior.
And after that, he died.
Yes.
You cannot forward God. You understand me? Church, listen. Not too many people understand what salvation is all about. Or the process of salvation. Church, listen. You don't become a Christian just because you open your mouth and say, today, I give my life to Christ. Listen carefully. That's contrary to what you were taught. You don't become a Christian. What is a Christian? A Christian is one with the Spirit of Christ. I hope you know that. Who is a human being? A human being is one with the spirit of a human being. That's the difference between you and an animal. Let a pig come and say, now from today I become a sheep. Yes, with your mouth you confess. With your heart you believe. With your mouth you confess. Because you confess you are now a sheep, therefore you are no more a pig, you are a sheep. Salvation is a mystery. But salvation is a process. If after, praise God. You know he died, Abby. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 8 verse 11 says, if the spirit of he that raised up Christ from the dead dwells in you, he said he will quicken your mortal body by that same spirit that dwells in you. Christ was able to come out of the grave because of the spirit that was in him. So, the only guarantee we have that we too are the last trump. We too, the grave will open and we shall come back to life like Christ came back to life. The only guarantee is that we have received the Holy Ghost. If at that point, Father, from today, forgive me, from today, have mercy on me, I give my life to Christ, and Christ give him the Holy Ghost there, then he will resurrect. He will be in heaven. So the answer is yes, if he received the Holy Ghost after saying that. But if he does not receive the Holy Ghost after saying that and he die, Lila, na hell he dey go.
Thank you, sir.
God bless you.
Then the second question. Now, is it that when I was in Abuja, there is a question that is, when I attended the Assemblies of God, but that's the only living church I know that the practice and the word of God, but not fully like they do here. So they asked a question. They say, is it that question was not really, I did not get that answer very well. They say, is it everything a Christian? Maybe that's the truth. But is it that every truth a Christian must speak? Sometimes, as a truth we speak, it will put somebody to trouble. And as a truth we speak, it will cause trouble in the house of God. Is it every truth that we see that we will go and report for as children of God?
Is it every truth,
yes,
you know that you speak? Is that what you mean?
Yes, sir.
Give me an example.
Like maybe something happened in the church, or let me say, you see somebody or a brother taking maybe frauding.
Let me so that I don't take too much time. Every Christian, when you are expected to speak the truth, you will speak the truth. That's the answer. Anytime you are expected to speak the truth, make sure you speak the truth. I don't know what else you want me to say.
God bless you, sir.
Thank you. No sister has question. Sisters, if you don't have question, I will ask you a question. Nabi go ask you, you must answer me. Yes?
Praise the Lord. I have three questions. Number one is from Genesis. Cain and Abel. The Bible said here, where Cain killed Abel and God cursed him, and he said, praise the Lord. So, Cain answered God. He said, my punishment is too much. If people see me, they will kill me. So I want to know those people Cain is talking about.
There are people that are going to repopulate the earth later now. It is from some of those same people that he picked his wife later. Remember that people were living 600 years, 700 years. And so people were being born now. So after them, there were people that repopulated the earth with them. So certainly those people are people that were born in the line of Seth. Particularly Seth, because the Bible says it was when Seth was born that men began to call upon the name of. So it means through Seth. Of course, after Cain and Abel, they had Seth. So if you read it, it's there in the Bible. The world was being populated by them.
Praise the Lord.
God bless you.
The second question is from you. So Matthew 10:33, Jesus was talking here. He said, but whoever deny me before men, he will be also denied before my Father who is in heaven. 34. He said, do not think that I came to bring peace on earth. I do not come to bring peace but a sword.
What's your question?
Let me go down. For I have come to set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man enemy will be those of his own household.
What's your question? You've not asked your question. You've read Bible for me. What is your question?
My question is, I believe that Jesus came to set peace and deliver us, but here he's saying he did not come to bring peace.
Praise God. Jesus is known as the Prince of Peace, but that peace will only come in the millennium when he will be coming to reign here as the King of Kings. And because he's on earth ruling, there will be peace everywhere on the earth. But now, you should understand that scripture better than anybody now. Because Christ is telling us in advance at that point that because of him, there will be confusion. There will be controversy. There will be persecution. Apostle Paul said, all that shall live godly in Christ shall suffer persecution. We've heard of several testimonies confirming that statement that immediately somebody gives his life to Christ in a family, the rest of the family will begin to persecute them. It happened among the Pharisees and the Sadducees in Israel. It's happening even here now among us. If you stop your father, your parents' religion and accept Christ, they will disown you. There are people that are suffering from, somebody will stop paying your school fees. Somebody will even eject you out of the house because you have given your life to Christ. So he's preparing our mind. Don't think I have brought peace. So because of him, father will raise against son, daughter will raise against daughter. Like that. That's what he's telling us. And it is happening now.
Praise the Lord. The third question is, Jesus, when a certain rich man meets Jesus, what will I do to see the kingdom of God?
You say who?
one rich man. I can't remember that verse.
Which scripture is that?
I don't know.
Go and find out the scripture before you come and ask. Next person.
Praise God. Please, my question is, can God give something, give somebody something that will take him out of it?
No.
Like, sometimes they give prophecies here that somebody is about to receive visa. And this person that is receiving the visa did not, praise God, church, did not maybe attend the visa process as it should be done. And secondly, if he went there or if he goes there, he required that he cannot stay in that country without getting the process. And the process will be that him will get married with the indigenous. And on the process, he went ahead or he goes ahead and do contract marriage. Is that accepted? Two questions. Is that contract marriage accepted? And is the foundation come from God?
What you are saying is, how can God give visa to somebody that is going there to live a useless life?
Yes.
That's what you are saying.
Yes, and the person is somebody who is heavily minded. He don't want to lose heaven. But because of act of ignorance, people maybe tell him that there is heaven. That Nigeria here is hell. That, no?
No, you are mixing it up. Let's just take it straight. Everybody traveling out believes that his life is going to be better than it is here. Those who go to struggle, those traveling to live. There are people that travel for businesses. Even if you give them paper to stay there, they will not stay. They know it is better here than there. Now that's not, there are people that are traveling to go and live there. So, what your question is, you will hear God, they say, a prophet will pick somebody and say, the Lord is giving you a visa. Now your question is, but this is somebody that is going there to live contrary to, to live a life of unrighteousness. You are saying that, didn't God know that that is the type of life he's going to live and he's giving him visa?
Yes.
That's the question. That is the mystery about God. Amen. And I think I've explained something similar to this before. If you've been listening to me, praise God. I said that the Bible says something that if your enemy is hungry, you should do what? If your enemy is naked, clothe him. If your enemy is thirsty, give him a drink. The Bible says, this is your enemy. He said, bless them that curse you. He said, in so doing, he was telling us, in so doing, he said, you heap coals of fire upon that person. That is, you are heaping judgment upon that person. Because he hates you. And yet he's coming to you to look for help. Now, if God teaches us to operate by that principle, it means he himself too operates the same principle. So his enemy, people are coming to him, they don't want to serve him. All they want is, they know God is a good God. God is a good God. Amen. Hallelujah. The prayer of the wicked, the Bible says, is what? Abomination. It's abomination. And so what God does is, that you don't love him. You hate him. You came here now tonight from your boyfriend's house. You've been there since Wednesday preparing to come here today. And one of your prayer points is that he must marry you. May he never marry you, but he didn't sleep with her. And since Wednesday till now, you bath rock powder, come here. Before God, you are wicked. And your prayer is abomination. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You are wicked. Some people took off now from beer parlor to come here. Where did they go? With your mouth smelling beer. And they go VG for bride. You are a wicked man before God. And your prayer is abomination. Every fornicator is a wicked person. Every liar, 419, cocaine pusher. Everyone that is selling fake drug, killing people. You are wicked. And yet, amen. You know you are wicked. You know everybody when they do bad thing, know they do bad thing. And you are coming before this holy God that knows everything, that knows that you hate him. And you are coming to Fona Vigil. When they call prayer for you to go pray, God will answer you chop, chop, chop. But that prayer, that answer that he answer you is judgment he's heaping upon you. It's letting you know that true, true, God is real. So he's going to use it to remind you that you won't say you didn't know there is God. Because you came, even in your estate, you prayed, he gave you your answer. And you ran to Europe with cocaine. You ran to Europe and you went there, left your house, your wife in Nigeria. You ran there, you say you want paper. So that's why you marry Oyibo. You know, I must marry him now so that I go take and do paper. You are wicked, you are wicked. They gave you that visa. It is for you to have, for God to have reason to deal with you on the day of resurrection. Praise God. But there are some people that when they come like that, in that their wicked estate, when they pray and God still answer them, they will say, eh? Even for this my condition, God answer me. This God must be merciful. From now, I'm not thief again. God is showing me he loves me. He's showing me he loves me. For this, I'm not fornicate again. John, you're not going to see my pant again. And she go close her leg. Pam! Permanently. Then, you have experienced the mercy of God. That's the answer, brother.
Sir, I'm talking out of experience, sir. What I'm saying is, I, in person, I'm somebody who don't want to think, it's not that I don't have money, but because what I don't know, people that went to and the place you have not been to, you don't know the condition of the place, but because of what
you sir, let me tell you something. I have answered your question the way you asked it. I'm also aware. I've not given you all the scenarios. I'm just telling you as you asked me. I'm also aware that a genuine Christian here, a genuine Christian that wants to go to heaven, but just looking for a way of making his life better, can travel out of the country, maybe go to Europe. When you reach there, the conditions that face you can push you to get backsliding and go and do some abominable things. There is a scripture waiting for you in the Bible. The Lord chastens those that he loves. They are the people, if you try to do what others do, back up, they will deport you. God will cause you to be deported back home. And that is evidence you are a genuine child of God. But if you continue in that iniquity, nothing happens. You they prosper and nothing happens, then it is either God's long suffering is waiting for you to repent, or you have no relationship with him. Okay.
Second question is, can ordinary man baptize?
Can
ordinary, somebody who have received Christ, but he's not neither pastor or any reverend in any church, but he himself is a true born again, can he baptize?
Mean whether you can baptize somebody.
Yeah, somebody has repented for you.
If you are able to, you certainly belong to a church. Give him, I've not finished talking with him. You belong to a church.
Yes.
You belong to a church, and that church baptizes. And you preach to somebody, and the person wants to be baptized. Why? There are ministers in the church you direct them to. You let them go through the process your church goes through to be baptized. But if you are somewhere where you cannot direct the person to the church, you are the one that preached to the person, and the person gives his life to Christ, you are entitled to baptize that person. Okay. It's your convert now. It's your convert.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, church. Pastor, my question is coming from Book of Genesis, chapter 3, verse 6. He said, and when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eye, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. Praise the Lord. My question in this verse is that, does it mean that Adam, because by this script, Bible, we understand that at that initial time, Adam was an immortality. He had a spirit being, a glorified body, meaning I can see things in the spirit. When this thing happened, does it mean he could not see it in the spirit, or he knows? And if he knows, why does he still go there to do the thing that will condemn man to this level?
It was not Adam that did it, it was Eve.
Eve gave to him and he ate.
Yes, we have explained that. The reason Adam ate was to be able to redeem his wife. He identified with her cause, not because he committed anything. The same way that Jesus Christ identified with us to suffer the same thing we are suffering to be able to redeem us.
So it does not. That does. So he knew.
He knew what she did was wrong, of course.
Thank you. The next question is from verse 8 of that same chapter. See, and they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hide themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Sir, in this place, we know by this Bible that everything in the Old Testament, they are the symbols of the New Testament. Sir, what does this place symbolize in the Church of Jesus Christ today?
I don't know. Any other question?
No, sir.
Thank you. Let me hear you. Yes.
Praise the Lord. So my question comes from Matthew 12 from verse 31. Okay.
Go on, we're hearing you.
Okay. He said, and so I tell you that people can be forgiven anything and any evil things they say, but whoever say evil things against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven. Anyone who say something against the Son of Man can be forgiven, but whoever say Something against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven. So my question.
Can you give her the other microphone you took from her?
question now, what are those sins that is being referred as the sin of dancing for the Holy Spirit that is not... That
you are reading Matthew 12, yes. The blasphemy of the Holy Ghost. Yes. You want to know which sin cannot be forgiven. Now, if you read the story very well, you will have discovered that that he was performing miracles, and the Pharisees, the Sadducees, they were calling him Beelzebub, that he is casting out those spirits by the spirit of the devil. And Jesus Christ then answered them when he said, every sin committed against the Son of Man shall be forgiven, but the sin which he called blasphemy, but the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost, shall neither be forgiven here nor hereafter. One, the sin of blasphemy, unbelievers don't commit that sin. The sin of blasphemy, because most of us, before we became Christians, we used to laugh and yab people when they perform miracles, saying, "Hey, na renji, hey, na lie." Now that is ignorance. The sin of blasphemy can only be committed by Christians, those who claim to be Christians, because they know. John chapter 3, Nicodemus came to Christ. He was one of the rulers. He was among the Sanhedrin council. He said, "Master, we know thou art a teacher sent from God." Who are the we? It's not him and his family. It's them in the council. They know. The Pharisees, they knew who he was. But because attention was shifting away from them to this man, Jesus, to keep people away from him out of jealousy, then they begin to say he is using occultic power. He said that sin is blasphemy of the Holy Ghost. He said it will neither be forgiven here or hereafter. So what is blasphemy of the Holy Ghost? Is to see God doing something and out of jealousy you say na devil. That is what the blasphemy is. You know that this is genuine, but so that people will not go there, so that people will not leave your church and follow the man, you say, you see, some of them will lie, koro koro. The power that is going on there, if you go to a bride assembly, they bury something under their altar. I'm telling you now, don't go there. Oh. Don't go there. Oh. You're my children. Don't go there. Oh. Now lie. He knows that it is genuine anointing of the Holy Ghost. But he's afraid that his members will soon discover it and leave him. So the only way to keep it is to label it occultic power. He said, that sin is neither forgiven here, no, hereafter. Okay. Praise God. Let me explain something further, sister. That statement says every sin against the Son of Man shall be forgiven. What he's saying is that every blasphemy, anything you speak against him, Jesus, what does he mean there? While he was on earth, moving up and down, he came for the purpose of suffering shame, disgrace, humiliation. He came so that man can spit on him, beat him, do whatever it is. He came to suffer. So while in his earthly ministry, you can call him anything, you can do anything, you can say whatever you like. That is what he came for. What Jesus is saying there is, after he has suffered all this suffering, gone to the cross, come down, went back to glory, and now comes in the spirit in his church as the Holy Ghost. You now use your mouth anyhow again against him. That is what he's saying. He will not forgive you because you cannot strike Jesus Christ twice. They struck him the first time, he will not take the stroke the second time. That is why he will not forgive you. Okay? And churches, hallelujah. There are churches everywhere that are guilty of this blasphemy. Guilty. One of the churches is Lord Chuzi. They have blasphemed the Holy Ghost in this ministry so much. So much. They know that what is going on here is genuine. They know. And anytime anybody speaks against the anointing in this church, I begin to pity them. Because he's afraid that his members would locate this place and come here. So the only way is to say they are occultic. Don't go there. They are occultic. I'm telling you now. We hear them on the microphone. They are loudspeaker outside. Praise God. Not only that. Everywhere. So many places. And some of you that will continue to repeat what you hear other people say without confirming it, you are guilty of the same sin. It's true now. Your pastor will come and tell you, if you see, I've told you people, don't go there, don't go there. Now you go tell me where I go go. Don't go there. And then you too, you say, because you believe your pastor, you go carry the news, radio, begin to broadcast it. You have not gone to confirm, it's occultic. You follow and go collect occultic power. How you know? Say the power way they use the occultic. If you have evidence, say it loud. If you have evidence. But if you have no evidence, close your mouth before you enter trouble that you can't come out. Because it happens even in the church. Gifted people, gifted brethren. Gifted brethren. A minister will collect microphone in the spirit and is discerning. Out of jealousy, he says, Narenji, Narenji, Narenji. My mind, Narenji. No, it's not jealousy, they worry him. Narenji, Abi. Because the Holy Ghost cannot know somebody's name. The Holy Ghost cannot know somebody's address. So, Narenji. And you let him say true, Narenji. No, no, he say na jealousy. The person is jealous. Even in a ministry like this, it happens. Blasphemy of the Holy Ghost. And that person is doomed forever. Because that is the sin that John says, the sin unto death. He said, don't pray for that person. The sin unto death is the blasphemy of the Holy Ghost. He said, don't even bother to pray for that person. Because it is already sealed, it cannot be forgiven. So what are you praying for? Yes, sir.
Praise the Lord. Sir, there is a statement made by Apostle Paul, but I don't understand. I don't capture the depth of that statement. I want you to explain it. Praise the Lord. Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 27 and 28, I read, for he has put all things under his feet. But when he said all things are put on under him, it is manifest that he is expected, which did put all things under him. 28. And when all things shall be subdued unto him, then shall the Son also himself be subject unto him that put all things under him, that God may be all in all. So I don't.
What's your question?
I want to understand what Apostle Paul was really saying here, that God will be all in all. So I want you to explain that statement.
That scripture explains the Godhead very, very clearly. That scripture also makes the statement Isaiah chapter 9 verse 6 very, very clearly. The Bible says that all power, Christ said it, Matthew 28, I think that's verse 18. He says, all power is given to me in heaven and on earth. Apostle Paul in Philippians chapter 2 said he is given a name that at the mention of that name every knee must bow. All authority has been given to him. That is what the Bible says concerning Christ. But the Bible is saying something here, praise the Lord, that that scripture is very interesting. Amen. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the Bible is saying that when he said all things have been put under him, he said, I'm paraphrasing now so that you understand that statement. He said, the person that put all things under him is not among the things that are under him. That's the meaning of that statement. Praise God. So he's saying, now, so when all the process of redemption is over, he too now will submit all authority back to him that gave him the authority. You understand now? Make I don't talk again. It's clear now. Then he will take his position, then God now assumes all and all and all and all. That's what that scripture is saying. Praise God. So the question is, in the eternal age, what will be the position of Jesus Christ? That's it now. In the eternal age, after the redemption is over, what will be his position in relationship to us? He will remain the everlasting Father. That's who he will be. Praise God. He will take the position that Adam lost. If Adam were alive now, what will you call him? What will you call Adam now? Eh? Our father now. That's our father. Because he's our first father. He is our father. It's from him. All of us came from. But he lost that position, then another Adam had to come. So through Jesus Christ now, he produced all of us. That is why he is our father. Our everlasting father. Praise God. Yes, sister.
Church, praise the Lord. Sir, I want to understand the word that say Adam lost his eternal life. I want to understand.
Whether Adam lost eternal life?
Yes.
No, he didn't lose eternal life.
And the other question is that...
No, do you understand? No, I say he didn't lose eternal life. He died physically. And he got separated from God. But he's still the first son of God. At the resurrection, he too will resurrect.
I want to understand also, somebody who is filled with the Holy Ghost, can that person still be stingy as a greedy person? Someone that is filled with the Holy Ghost.
Whether somebody filled with the Holy Ghost, can he still be stingy?
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah. Let's open one scripture, Galatians chapter 5. Some of you ask very interesting questions. Hallelujah. Verse 16. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. It says, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that you would. But if you be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Then it said the works of the flesh are manifest. And he mentioned all of them. Now, what Apostle Paul is explaining here is that when you are born again, the Spirit of God comes to dwell inside of you to cause you to live a life pleasing before God. But remember that you still have your own will. You still have your flesh, the lust of the flesh, to battle with. Because the last redemption we shall have is this body. For now, no matter how filled with the Holy Ghost you are, this body is not yet redeemed. Therefore, this body is every time at war with the spirit man. So it is who you yield yourself to that, you know, you will fulfill the lust. So when Apostle Paul said, walk in the spirit so that you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. The spirit will want you to do something, but your flesh can prevent you from doing it. That's why Apostle Paul said, he that thinks he stands, take heed lest you fall. So it is true that a Christian filled with the Holy Ghost can drink alcohol, can fornicate. You can be tempted and you will fall, yakata, if you are not careful, if you are not watchful, if you allow the flesh to overtake you. That's the truth. So filled with the Holy Ghost, born again, can be stingy if he allows his senses to rule him.
And the other question is that, is there anything wrong with a lady marry a man who is 2 years older than him?
No, even 5 years, 10 years older, provided you love each other. You can marry a man that is 10 years older than you, 15 years older than you. The important thing is you love one another. There is no commandment against it. Is he here? Yes?
It's one question I want to ask here. I don't understand this verse in the Bible. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 35. He said, but if any man think that he behaveth himself uncommonly toward his virgin, if she pass the flower of her age, and need so require, let it do what he will. He sinneth not, but then marry. I want to explain this verse.
All he's saying, Apostle Paul is saying, advising in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, is that to him, he advises that you should be like him because he refused to marry. He had his reason. He says it's better not to marry than to marry. That's what Apostle Paul is saying there in 1 Corinthians chapter 7. And he gave his reasons, of course, because he's talking in relation to the ministry. Those who have given themselves over to serving the Lord. He said, marriage is a distraction. I am paraphrasing it. He said, marriage is a distraction. Because, you know, you will want to please your husband, you want to please your wife. And so, you know, attention is taken, you know, it's distracting. But then he now said, but in case so, you see yourself around any young girl, and you discover, say, you know, if you hold yourself, and she's of age, he said, marry, you have not sinned. For it is better to marry than to fall and lost and born. Use the word born. That's what he's explaining in 1 Corinthians chapter 7.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Yes?
Praise the Lord. Pastor, good evening, sir.
God bless you too.
Sir, you told us to study the Bible, not to read it.
Study the Bible, yes.
So I was studying my Bible. I come across a particular chapter, that is Luke chapter 7 verse 17.
Luke
chapter 7 verse 17. I read. And this rumor of him went forth throughout all Judea and throughout all the region around about. And he and the disciples of John showed him of all the things. And John, calling unto him two of his disciples, sent them to Jesus, saying, Art thou he that should come, or look we for another? When the men came unto him, they said, John Baptist hath sent us to thee, saying, Art thou he that should come, or look we another? And at that same time, 21. And in that same hour, he cured many of their infirmities. So, sir, my question here is that I am verse 22. And Jesus answering, saying unto them, Go your way and tell John what things you have seen and heard. How the blind see, how the lame walk. The lepers were cleansed, and leper and deaf hear the dead are raised. To the poor, the gospel is preached. Sir, here I saw that John sent his disciple to Jesus Christ to ask him a question, if he is the one that is to come. And Jesus Christ did not give them the answer. Rather, he told them to go their way and tell John what they saw. I want to know, why did he not answer that question, that he is the one that he is expecting to come or not?
Praise God. Hallelujah. I want you to also note, I thought you were going to ask, why should John ask that question? Because the same John, in John chapter 1 verse 29, saw Jesus rise and said, Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. And he said in that scripture, he said, I didn't know him, but he that sent me told me that whosoever I will see the Spirit descending upon him, he said, he is the one. And John now saw a man passing with the Spirit descending upon him, and he shouted, Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. I remember that in Matthew chapter 2 or chapter 3, remember that John the Baptist revealed was given a revelation, a commentary about Jesus Christ. He said, He is the one that baptizes with the Holy Ghost and fire. He said, Whose shoe lashes I am not worthy to loose. And he said that he will increase and I will decrease. And for it to be fulfilled, he had to decree, because two of them cannot be on the scene at the same time. God allowed Herod to use Herodias and the daughter, and you know what happened, and they kept him in prison. But the average Jew has always believed that their Messiah that will come is coming to deliver Israel. But how he will do this, not too many of them had the revelation. So how can the man that is going up and down that he knew should be their Messiah is around, and then he is here inside prison yard, locked up, and he didn't come to loose him from the prison? Because he was locked up. Jesus knew that he was locked up there. Instead, he went about his ministry and left John there in the dungeon. So John now had to tell his disciples, come. I'm going to go find out again. Nahim, Abi, we are expecting another. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. But remember, Jesus Christ, he made another statement. He said, study the scriptures. Hallelujah. He said, study the scriptures. He said, in them you think you have life. He said, for they are they that testify of me. So that is why when they asked him, are you the one? He began to show them what he was fulfilling. Didn't scripture say when he comes, the blind will see? He will set at liberty those that are bound. Isaiah 61, verse 1, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. For the Lord has, he said, he has anointed me to do what? You see? So, he was making reference to it, to tell John, all that the scriptures say I will do is what is going on now. Go and tell him. So, that is another way of answering him, yes, Nami. Not be another one, Nami.
Yes, answered him, he's the one.
Thank you. Any sister? No sister. Yes?
Praise God. So, my own is to make a passionate appeal. Now, it is evident that the bride assembly, it is happening in bride assembly.
It is happening in bride assembly.
Yes.
Clap your hands and I say it is happening. It's happening. That means Ebano. Thank you.
So, what I'm saying in essence is that now that it is happening in the bride assembly, why must it be only in Lagos? Can't it be shifted a bit to some other area so that all of us will equally enjoy what is happening here?
When you ask that question, it's an interesting question. But you have to also answer this question. It is happening in Bride Assembly. What is happening in Bride Assembly?
Good. People come here, they receive their healings.
Yep.
People go home, they are satisfied, they receive salvation. It's one of the greatest things we want in our life.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. But this is not the only church that people come and receive healing. This is not the only church that people come and receive salvation. So you won't say that is the unique thing about this ministry. If that is what you see is happening here, then it is happening in other places too.
But what I still mean is that there is strong preaching here. What we hear from you here is a very strong preaching.
Praise God. Now, can I preach in more than one place at a time? No. If it is me you are referring to, if it is my own sermon, I can only preach in one place. And God has placed me here to preach here in Lagos, Ijesha. I'm not omnipresent. So I can't be here. You tell me I should also preach. Now, and this is not a denomination where I can record my tape and people will gather in Sokoto every Monday and hear my tape and share the grace and go home. You see? So we are not that type of ministry. But I think I understand what you mean. Yes. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
This ministry, so many people have called, why don't we have branches?
Yes.
Now, you discover that this is a restored ministry. Restored to the Bible faith. The apostolic way of Christianity. What we call the end time message. God pulled us out of the denominational system. So we can't organize ourselves again like the denomination. Now, so if we were a denomination now, we would have branches everywhere. But what happened is we have a message we preach. Now, all the grace of God you see, it is God's own way of coming to confirm the message, that the message is true. Now, and he does it in a unique way that will cause attraction for people to know what we are saying is the truth. Now, in the Bible, there is no church with a headquarters and branches. What we should be praying for, let me not take too much time on that. What you should be asking for is that God will raise up ministers that understand this message like we do in this ministry. Go out and establish the same kind of thing. Pastor Thomas, you remember the young man from K2 that came, and he came to my office. We had a meeting with some of the people there that they started gathering themselves over there in K2. After he came here, he saw he wanted the same thing happening here over there. That is why, you know, that was the reason why he offered his house for a place of worship. He wanted the same thing here, and so a particular minister that left here went there and then to be their pastor. But after some time, Katakata happened, he left. Now they needed some people to come, and he came. He is bored, and he said he wanted the same thing here over there. And I told him, I said, what you should pray for is to pray for God to give you a pastor. It is the pastor. It's the pastor. Because it is what he wants, depending on his revelation. If you have a pastor, for instance, that believes that his gift is for him to chop with it. Money is the reason for him coming to the ministry. You will never have this type of setting. You will never have another bride assembly like that there. If you have a pastor that will not allow other people's gifts to come up, you will never have this type of setting there. You see? If you have a pastor, praise the Lord,
hallelujah,
that is lazy, you will never have this type, because here we have night vigil every Friday, and we've been doing this for the past 11-12 years since this ministry started. See, there's a church that believes what we believe too. I was talking with a member that was in my office this evening, a member coming today for the first time, and I asked him, I said, in your church there, do you have vigil every Friday? They said no. Why? They said they couldn't, because they got their land, they are building, that place is swamp. So because of mosquitoes and everything, the pastor said they should not have vigil because of mosquito. So I told him, I said, we too, we are in a swamp. We are in a swamp. About 5 years ago, when we moved to this place, all these people that built fence all around, everywhere here was bush. This is where the whole water from Ijesha used to gather. This was complete swamp. The first day I was brought in here to see this place, in November 2005. We stood near Lotus in there. They were showing, now the land be that. We managed. I reached somewhere there. They were saying, you see that tree there, now that the thing end. Then if you come here, I said, Chai, bush, no road. All this road, we are the ones that made the road. No road to come here. People will park their car on the main road and trek in here. It was bush. And when we entered here, I came here, I saw it, I said, yes, we shall come here. And I said, somebody was saying, I said, don't even bother yourself. Our December camp, we shall hold it here. People say, how? Mosquito, reptiles, everything. I said, we are moving there. Well, that is the place now. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Lazy people. Lazy. I'm only trying to tell you this. So pray that we shall have men of God here that have the same type of vision like some of us have, that we go out. Because there are people that have left this church, ministers that were here before. Some of them spent 8 years here with me. They have their church. One of them has his church at Ajawa Estate. He's a prophet. He left here after 8 years. There is nothing he's setting up there that resembles anything here. See? Before you see him, you feel form, you pay. So you see? And all of them like that. So the day we have, I mean, but I can assure you that God will produce the ministers. And they will go everywhere. The message will spread. But for now, we never see them yet.
I'm grateful.
God bless you.
Thank you, sir.
Yes, the next person. Okay, maybe I'll take questions only. Because our time is gone.
Praise yes. the Lord. Praise the Lord. I'm taking my test from Romans 3, verse 23.
Romans 3.
23.
Yes.
For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Second place is Romans 8, verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit.
Yes.
Is it right to come in a church like this and say that everybody is a sinner?
Eh?
Is it right to come to a church like this or another place and say that everybody is a sinner?
Well, it depends on the context of that statement.
Okay, I want to. There's an issue that needs to.
It depends on the context. You read two scriptures. The first one is, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That statement necessitated the appearance of Jesus Christ.
Okay. When I'm bringing this issue, there is a local church in the course of their Bible study. So the person leading the Bible study said that everybody here is a sinner. Some say, yes, we are sinners. Others say, no, we are not.
No, that's why I say it depends on the context. You know, everybody here was a sinner. It's different from everybody here is a sinner. Do you understand? Because if my sins have been washed away, I am no longer a sinner.
Yes, this is the reason why I'm raising this point.
Now, so
those people that we are saying that we are sinners, some of them have not repented. Some of them are still going to native doctors.
Of course, so
these things. So they are comfortable with by that saying that everybody is a sinner.
No, I said that word "everybody" is wrong. Because everybody here is not a sinner. But certainly some people here are sinners.
Thank you very much.
In fact, many.
Thank you.
Yes. They ask me why I'm happy. I just tell them why. Because my sins are gone, and when I meet the scoffers who ask me where they are, I say my sins are gone. Where are they are underneath the blood of the cross of Calvary. As far as darkness is from dawn, oh, in the sea of God's forgetfulness, that's good enough for me. Praise God, my sins are gone. They are gone. They are gone. Praise the Lord. And the Bible says, he that is born of God does not commit sin. Hallelujah. My sins are gone, including the sins of that technician there. Amen. Yes, sister.
Praise the Lord, sir. Daddy, if you remember, there is a time you taught us about who Jesus is.
Yes.
And I went to a seminar at a Pillar of Fire church. So the evangelist that was teaching, he was preaching, saying something. All they were saying, many churches believe in this Trinity something. It's like it's only us here. that said it's unity. But after the teaching, I asked a question. Then I opened the Bible for them, where you opened for us in John chapter 14. And we read, and we come across in that John chapter 14, verse 8, where Philip asked a question that, Lord, show us the Father so that we follow him. And Jesus answered them that, Philip, I have been with you and you did not know me. Then he came back and asked me, my question is, he referred me back to Matthew 27, I think 46, said, okay, if Jesus is the Father, why did he said in Matthew 27, my Father, why have thou forsaken me? I kept quiet. I never said anything. He said something again in John chapter 16, saying that if Jesus is the Father again, why did he say in John chapter 16 that I will send the Comforter, if not so, my Father, he said something like that, but I forgot it. But so I want to ask, no, when they asked me that question, I kept quiet. I never said anything. But I know what I believe. So that's why I came.
Thank you. I'm happy you know what you believe. Praise the Lord. You know, the doctrine of Trinity has entered so deep in Christendom that it will take the special grace of God to pull that doctrine out of a Christian. Trinity says that the Godhead is three persons in one God. Praise the Lord. I told you people something. I said there was a title of a message William Branham preached. He titled it, he said, Christ is the mystery of God revealed. I said that title is a loaded title from the first day I saw it. Christ is the mystery of God revealed. Hallelujah. Scriptures cannot fight scripture. Scripture only makes other scriptures clearer. Scripture makes scripture clearer. Praise the Lord. Now, let me give you one scripture. Colossians chapter 1, for instance, verse 15, tells us that Christ is the image of the invisible God. Understand it. That scripture says, Jesus Christ is the image of the invisible God. John chapter 1 verse 18 says, no man has seen God at any time. No man has ever seen God at any time. But you say, but Moses saw his backside. It was still not God he saw. You say, what's his name? Jacob. He fought with an angel. Then he now said, the next day he said, for I have seen God face to face. You will say, but Abraham met God. Because, is it Genesis 14 or so, 15? He met Melchizedek. He saw him, and in that scripture says he was a priest of the Most High. Praise the Lord. Let this sister stand for here. Boom. Sit down here. Sit down. Sit down. Don't want stress to make you start labor here. Praise God. He said he was the priest of the Most High. That is all that the Bible tells us in Genesis. Until Hebrews chapter 7, Apostle Paul mentioned who Abraham saw. He said he saw Melchizedek. He said that Melchizedek had no father, had no mother, had no beginning of days, no ending of days. He had no lineage. He had no birthday. He has no beginning. He has no end. Who did Abraham see? He met God, but yet John said, no man has ever seen God. Why? Because see the size of God. The Bible says that heaven is the throne of God and the earth is his footstool. That is, when God sits down in heaven, his leg the rest for earth. God says, hallelujah, blessed be the name of the Lord. God said, where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there. He is everywhere at the same time. How can you draw his picture? Blessed be the name of the Lord. That's the God we are serving. So, there is the appearing of God. There is the appearance of God. Anytime this great God wants to relate to human beings, he will take a form that he can relate to you. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And so, he has appeared like an angel. He appeared like a high priest. He appeared in a form that he can relate to you, because if he comes in his own real self, oh, you can't stand him. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. When he wanted to come down, remember, church, remember, blessed be the name of the Lord. The law of redemption is that before you qualify to redeem anybody, something that belongs to you, it is lost. You want to have it back. That is the meaning of redemption. The law says you must be next of kin to him. Praise the Lord. And secondly, you must be free yourself before you can redeem somebody that is in bondage. These two qualifications, praise the Lord. The whole man, all have seen, Romans chapter 3, all have seen. No man was capable of redeeming man. No man was capable of redeeming man. No man. Because all of us have that Adamic nature in us. Praise the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. No man, no man. Amen. And so, God himself has to come down to redeem man. Praise the Lord. But he is a spirit. A spirit. It is not a spirit that fell. It was a human being that fell. Therefore, he will need a human being to redeem a human being. But this human being must be free himself. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Therefore, who is Jesus Christ? Jesus Christ is the body that God made. And he came and tabernacled inside of him. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He tabernacled inside of him. That is why he became Emmanuel. God with us. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Colossians chapter 1 verse 19 says, for it pleased the Father that all fullness, hallelujah, should dwell in him. Colossians chapter 2 verse 9 says, for the fullness of the Godhead dwelleth in him, Jesus, bodily. Bodily. Hallelujah. Hebrew chapter 2. Let's read Hebrew chapter 2. Hebrew chapter 2. Hallelujah. In Hebrew chapter 2, are we there? Praise God. Praise the Lord. This Bible is correct. No, before I read Hebrew chapter 2, go to Hebrew chapter 10. Hallelujah. Verse 4 and verse 5. Are we there? He said, for it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he said, sacrifice and offering thou willest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. Which body was that? The body of Jesus Christ. Go to Hebrews chapter 2. Let me read it from verse 14. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. Wherefore, in all things it befell him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. Now verse 18. For in that he himself has suffered being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted. God of creation took upon himself the form of a human being. Now I want you to also note that that man Jesus was the tabernacle of God on earth. He was carrying the Godhead. Everything about the Godhead was in him.